Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Bill O'Reilly. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit from Vinny Tortorich. And now, reclaiming his time, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Maybe get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. We rely on you. I'll see you guys tomorrow night in Chicago, Park West, doing a one-man show. And remember, afterward, we'll hang out, go to the lobby, take some pictures, and press the flesh. So I'll see you 8 o'clock, Park West, tomorrow night in Chicago. Gina Grad on her way here. We're starting a little early. Not her fault. Bald Brian is here. Bald Brian.
Norris Host Fest.
Vinny Tortorich in studio.
Hello, and I want to give a happy birthday to Tessa Bishop, or is it Tess?
Tessa. You can call her Tessa if you want to. We'll call her Tessa.
Tessa and Serena Scott Thomas, my better half, is having a birthday today.
Congratulations to both the beautiful girls, yes? Yeah.
She's celebrating, she being Serena, by getting teeth pulled.
One tooth, because we're thinking about moving to the south, so they make get a few out, yeah.
We'll do fit or bullshit. Mm-hmm. We'll save that for Gina. Lots of nice tweets about Vinny and how much weight everyone has lost. And I just don't see any other way around it. Unfortunately, you got to take it easy with the carbs and take it easy with the sugar. And the weight shall come off of you. Vinny, exercise. We always talk about this is something that's a little counterintuitive. Easier to lose weight on diet than it is on exercise.
I always say you can't outrun a bad diet. And oddly enough, the game today, the fit or bullshit game, is all exercise type questions. I decided to change it up to make it a little more difficult on you guys. So, and every week this fall, I'll be bringing in a different. I'm going to bring in a drinks version and a football Sunday version of the game. I'm working on those. But
I like that.
I can answer general exercise questions, and I will say this. If you're eating a bad diet, I mean, we see guys in the gym all the time, 19-inch biceps, big, giant chest, but they have a gut, big, giant gut. You cannot outrun a bad, you know,
speaking
diet.
Of a bad diet in football, I got to tell you, burn times two. You guys tell me, and you tell me, bigger heartache in the culinary department on a football Sunday. On week one, it is decided that we should go out to Five Guys or whatever it is, and everyone's getting burgers. Okay.
For the Sunday afternoon watch.
Burgers and fries. Sometime later, a whole bunch of double cheeseburgers show up and a huge bag of fries, zero ketchup, And I go to the fridge to go look and see if I have some on hand. There is no ketchup on hand.
Usually they just throw those in by the handful, right?
Well, there's a new world order. And then I got more.
I haven't ordered fast food fries in a while.
I have more complaints about what's going on in our new world order. First things first, and then we have to decide. Max Pata, you eat everything. I need you in on this one. Would you rather go huge sack of fries, zero ketchup? Mm-hmm. And when I say huge sack, what ends up, there's 10 orders placed. It's going to be a big sack of fries. Right. Huge sack of fries, zero ketchup, or big pile of Mexican food, including chips, zero salsa.
Dude.
All right, think about it. Just think about it. Now, here's what's going on. And also, could we straighten this thing out? There is nothing I like more than beans and rice, Spanish rice. I love beans and rice. Unfortunately, there's this huge problem that we've never quite sorted out, which is I'll have the two beef tacos, the soft beef tacos plate. So just the two tacos? Yeah. No, the plate. No, beans and rice. Oh, no, that comes with the... Then at some point, there's some cutoff. I cannot tell you the numbers of times. Sometimes I get the one beef taco because you just ordered the one beef taco. Right. No, I ordered the beef taco plate, which is two beef tacos, rice and beans. Oh, I just heard you ordered... Yeah. You wanted the one steak taco.
On a plate.
I said steak with the plate.
Yeah.
You weren't going to eat it off a snow shovel?
No, we bought a plate. Here it is.
Oh, but there's some bark. It's pretty flat. You could eat off of it. There's a huge problem. So I ordered my favorite, beans and rice, and I ordered the two steak soft tacos, and the beans and rice never showed up because, I told them plate. Oh, no, they just heard beans. We got to work that one out, right? It's been long enough that many people are getting screwed by, and especially there's nothing worse than when you order the plate and you get the one soft taco.
But Adam, this is a brand new problem because we talk about this all the time. People now are so programmed, when I say people, the younger people are so programmed that if you just said the beef tacos or beef taco plate, they would have given you the beef tacos and the rice and beans because Mexicans love to give you rice and beans, whether you order them or not.
Agreed.
But when you say...
It's one of the few perks of the culture.
Whenever you say beef tacos and rice and beans, now you've given someone who's been programmed by their boss a different problem. And they're not set up. People can't think around that anymore.
All I'm saying is we have to solve this problem because it is confusing the shit out of everybody around me. And I cannot tell you the times when I have set my internal calibrations for the two tacos with the beans and the rice and the single taco showed up. And then the person says, that's what you ordered. And I said plate. And they said, but why should we have the word plate behind it when a plate is used anyway to eat your single beef taco? Let's do something else.
Some
anyway.
Some verbiage that would define this is the meal and this is a la carte.
Now, and also, there's no way around this, Vinny Tortorich. In our never-ending fight against the carbs,
right.
I went out to dinner Sunday night. I ordered a salad and I ordered a burger. And they said, what do you want with the burger? Whatever. And I said, just plain. Just the burger, a la carte, just bring the burger. And they said, okay. And then the huge pile of fries shows up next to it, which I can never talk them out of bringing the fries.
And good luck.
They do that thing where they go.
Willfully shoving the fries away.
They go, it comes with the fries. And I go, yeah, I know. Yeah. But that's why they have communication. That's why you're standing here. That's why you have a notepad. That's why there's verbiage. That's why I speak. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it comes with the fries. Don't bring them.
Yeah. Give them
away. And here's the good news. Not a week from today, 11 minutes from now, just don't bring them. Just the burger, just the plate. Do you know how many times that's ignored?
Every time.
And it's like,
don't charge me less. You just made a little more money.
And my thing is like, I can be pretty good with the carbs, but if you're going to drop them off in front of me and it's there and there's
a
ketchup,
it's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah. So that's difficult.
Yeah.
Now, there's a third wrinkle. The third wrinkle is the dude who's in charge, in this case, audio Ed, audio guy Ed, times two. Yeah. The guy who's in charge of the run is no longer in charge of the run. He's in charge of the guy from Grubhub. He's the guy in charge of Buy and Fly.
Now there's
the guy who he has to dispatch
Postmates.
To go to the Farmer Brothers, Boys, Five Guys, Twin Towers, and bring them over here or go over to Paquito Moss and go get the thing. So, of course, there's none of that beautiful toasted the salsa where they roast
him?
The salsa, that guy. And then we can't really blame Ed, but we have to. But Ed says, I told the guy, but Ed didn't tell the guy. The guy showed up. So week one, all fries, no ketchup. Week two, never got the rice and the beans, but no salsa.
All right. So the question, qualifying question. You're saying what's worse, the fries without ketchup or the chips without salsa? Are there
chips and the rest of these things that showed up, which I like to sprinkle the salsa
on? Are there alternatives to the ketchup or the salsa, or are we going dry?
Going dry. Sand. We have we have an urn filled with sand. If you'd like to dip it into that, you may.
That's up to you. Vinny, I have a thought. I'll go first here. Fries are better because being that they are fried, they're going to have a little bit of moisture to them, just a little bit of grease, whereas the chips and all the other stuff, you're just getting what you get. That salsa has got so many other things going on, the little bits of onion, little bits of tomato, little bits of garlic. That makes it sing. The fries you can slide with. I would take the fries. I would need the salsa. What I'm saying?
You may be surprised that I disagree.
Okay.
I feel like while the tacos and even the chips are not nearly as good, minus the salsa, they're still good. Fries, to me, minus ketchup, are almost not enjoyable. They're
really
good. They're good. I can eat three or four of them or something, but they're just plain and naked, not enjoyable to me. I need the ketchup for the fries in order to really enjoy the fries.
Are you a mustard on the fries guy?
No, I found myself going to the refrigerator and getting some
barbecue sauce.
Oh no, I like barbecue sauce and fries. There, we didn't have any of that. I just found some Tabasco or something. Just something moist to drag it. Just the actual process of dragging something through something else. Max Pata, thoughts?
Look, I'm fine with either one, but in fries with ketchup, a 10. Tortilla chips with salsa, a 10. But fries by themselves, I give it an 8, and tortilla chips, a 6.
Yeah, ooh, I think where most people are there.
I would have much rather enjoyed week one over week two.
Yeah, you'd be miserable either week. But the thing that drives me nuts is there is a big disconnect between the guy who's buying and the guy who's flying these days, and we need to straighten that one out. You don't go buy a pillowcase worth of fries and not come out with a handful of... As a matter of fact, each one of these guys should keep a kitty.
A dispenser.
He needs to have in his car a bunch of packets of soy sauce, ketchup, mustard, and something that replicates salsa. Yep. Thank you.
I like
Vinny
that.
Tortorich?
The only time fries are really good is right out of the fryer. If it's a fly situation, by the time they get to you, you need the ketchup to dummy them up.
I agree.
For that reason alone.
That's a good point.
I agree.
You got to go with the chips.
Yeah, it goes. We get deeper because it's, at the restaurant, you can do it without them. But by the time they reach your table. All right. So first world problems, everybody. First world problems.
Well, we're number one.
Yep. All right. We got Vinny. We got, we're also doing, let's see. We got a Baldy one.
Yeah, on It.
Yeah. Everyone has seen that movie, likes it. Likes it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And Sonny's on the fence.
Sonny's a puss. Sonny doesn't want to go because it's scary. Mm-hmm. He understands his own limitations, and there are many.
Natalia, have any interest?
I think, but I'm not sure. Also, then, there are those who have seen it and said, good, not as scary as you'd think it would be, but I have heard it was scary, and I'm very interested in what Bald Brian has to say. First, I'll tell you guys about BetDSI.com. Proud sponsor, not just the Adam Carolla Show, but a Podcast One. Honored to bring you this week's Podcast One Sports Minute. Number one destination for all your bedding needs. Make sure you use the promo code ADAM25 and you get the free $25 to play. Why not get started? Week 3 in the NFL. Let's see. Baltimore Ravens -4. Jacksonville +4.
At home.
Mm-hmm. Browns -1 to hapless Colts.
Indy, that's right.
Yeah, +1. Chances are I get my accoutrements with whatever my side orders are. 0.00.
+1,000.
Let's see. My stupid Rams are... Oh, they're playing... played last night.
Yeah, Thursday night against the Niners. Yeah. Niners giving away 3 points at home.
Yeah. All right. All fun odds. All exciting. Remember to sign up at BetDSI.com. Use the promo code ADAM25 for your free $25 play. Why not? All right, let's do the Baldywood.
Let's do it.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood.
It is the movie. It, the new movie based on the Stephen King novel from 1986. I don't know if anyone here has read the novel. I have not.
Nope.
Stephen King was also a 1990 miniseries on TV starring Tim Curry. Did anyone see that?
Was apparently
a little campy.
Real not good.
Yeah, a little campy, a little. It wasn't received. A little more of a cult sort of guilty pleasure classic, I think, at this point. But this is in theaters now. It, directed by Andy Muschietti. He is the director of Mama, a horror film, thriller film a couple years ago. Kind of well received. I did not see. And this is starring mostly age-appropriate unknowns. Like, you're not going to know a lot of these names, but I'll say them because they are really, really good. Jaden Lieberher, Sophia Lillis, she's fantastic. Jeremy Ray, Finn Wolfhard, Wyatt Olaf, Chosen Jacobs, Jack Dylan Grazer.
Chosen.
He's
like Cam Newton's kid.
Definitely not a Jew. He's a black kid.
No.
What?
You're going to find it hard to believe.
No.
Chosen. Jack Dylan Grazer, Nicholas Hamilton, and Bill Skarsgård plays It, the demonic clown. So refreshing to see actual kids played by kids. Like, you talk about things that bump you in movies, you know, logical problems or, you know, end zone to end zone or goalpost to goalpost, wherever it is. Seeing clearly people in their 20s or late 20s sometimes playing high school age teenagers bumps me immediately. And I'm like, am I supposed to suspend my disbelief that I'm watching a person with a graying 5 o'clock shadow play a high school senior?
Whenever Luke Perry would head down to the cherry pit or the peach pit over there, bothered me, man.
Exactly.
Clearly in his early 30s.
Same thing.
Bumped me.
Yeah, these are all kids. These are all little kids playing freshmen and sophomores, high school age kids. And they are fantastic. I
Did
love
you say
the
high
cast.
School age?
I think they're like supposed to be 13, 14. So I'm thinking like summer before freshman year, perhaps.
Even younger.
Middle school, maybe.
Yeah. All right. So middle school kids. All right.
Yeah. All right. In that era, that's never really defined, I don't think, what grade they're in. But that's what I got. Yes, the casting is fantastic. All the kids are like, you know, it's kind of Stephen King meets Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. It's not, like you said, it's not especially scary. It's a little creepy, and I can see it would be very scary for younger kids. I found it more of a thriller. Like, also, keep in mind the definition of horror film has changed a lot, too. Like, Alien in 1979 was a horror film of the day, and now it would be like, you know, a thriller, you know, an outer space thriller. Nowadays, horror film means someone gets abducted and tortured for 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, which is not this film. No. This is much more along the line. This is Stand By Me, like done like Steven Spielberg. It's very effective. The kids are fantastic. Here's a scene. There's a clip, if you guys have it, of the kids. So what happens is, this town of Derry in like the New England area is being every 27 years kids start to go missing, and this is 27 years on the dot, and kids start to go missing. These kids' friends and one of the younger brothers, and they start to suspect there's something up, and they are going to go into the city, the town. It's a small town. They're going to the town sewer system to see what's going on because they suspect it has something to do with the sewers, and they saw something in the sewers, and blah blah blah. So here they're going to go. It's a great scene because number one, it puts them in great danger. You know, a great setup for a scary scene right away. But also, you get to know the kids really well, and each have their own personality. They're not just this kid's here to be the wacky one. No, they all got their little nuances and wrinkles. So here are the kids, good friends, like Stand By Me style, going into the sewers.
Where's the poison ivy?
Nowhere.
Okay, well, I'm starting to get itchy, and I'm pretty sure this is not
Do you use the same bathroom as your mother?
Sometimes, yeah.
Then you probably have crabs.
That's so not funny.
Aren't you guys coming in?
Uh-uh. It's gray water.
What the hell's gray water?
It's basically piss and shit, so I'm just telling you. You guys are splashed around in millions of gallons of dairy pee. So, are you serious?
Doesn't smell like caca to me, senor.
Have you ever heard of a staph infection?
This is so unsanitary.
This is literally like swimming inside of a toilet bowl right now. You're the reason why we're in this position right
guys.
Now.
Guys!
Whose sneaker is it?
It's Betty Ripsom's.
What if she's still here?
And the plot kind of takes off from there. This scene could have been just so boring and expository and like, let's go into the sewer and oh my gosh, it's a shoe. But these kids are allowed to sort of breathe and be characters and it really makes the movie sing. Admittedly, horror isn't my genre, so I can't stack this up against all the great horror movies that I've seen. It's very effective. It's very fun. There's a couple of laugh out loud funny moments. It will scare younger kids. This is an R-rated movie. Like there's like kids are in danger. Kids are in peril. Horrible things happen to some of the kids, but it's not especially horrifying for
you
adults.
You won't lose nights of sleep over it as an adult.
As an adult, no. Sonny will not sleep for
ever
the rest of his life.
Yes.
But has all the tropes of a horror film, kids in danger. R-rated,
any yoga scenes? He's declared yoga too dangerous for
him. That would be a little scary,
I think. Any ziplining?
Yeah, no yoga
scenes. Why would yoga be dangerous?
This is really a question for Adam.
I don't know. Sonny has a wiring like no other 11-year-old boy I've ever met who is not most. There's a sitcom version of Sonny. Right. That's a guy named Sheldon who wears a bow tie, who's worried about everything. That's not Sonny, but still Sonny when I'm in the garage making the ladder for him out of 2x4s and I built him a loft. And I'm there with my chop saw in the garage just chopping a piece of 2x4. He heads back into the house for eye protection. And I explain to him, you don't need eye protection. I'm just cutting a 2x4 in half. And by the way, stand over there while I cut the 2x4. I'm not using anything.
Right, right.
He still goes back in the house. He comes back in. He has eye protection.
But wait, hang on. I saw a video of Sonny on an unstable yoga ball. Is that what he was talking
Again,
about? Again,
why
what we're talking
it wouldn't
about,
land in the sitcom version of him, it wouldn't work because he's all kind of over the road. But he knows something like this, you know, may scare him and thus knows it will scare him and thus he will avoid it versus I think we were all looking for that challenge when we were about that age.
You want that thrill.
You wanted to see when you were 11 or so.
Yeah.
It was a badge of honor to see an R-rated movie.
Sure. Absolutely, Patton. But let me ask this.
You used to talk about the guts and the blood.
Of course. Godfather, all those movies. Like, oh, my God, a guy got shot. You know, you saw the blood and the whole thing. We all saw those when we were 11. But here's a Sonny question. Is he opposed to pain? And when I say pain, you know, usually nerdy kids get into, you know, running cross-country. There's a certain amount of pain that comes along. Is he just not going to put himself in the way of pain?
It's
a waste of his time.
It's a waste of his time.
I think he's pretty good when it comes to the sort of running cross-country version of pain. He's not good when it comes to the sort of hit-the-ground-hard version of pain. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So what about football? Is he going to play football, or does he have any aspirations to play? Don't laugh. I'm asking a serious.
If you'd like to just kind of, well, I'll tell you what. I'll let Brian bring it home, and then I'll give you a father's lament.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was very effective. I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple Oscar nominations for makeup especially and set design, all this stuff. It's very effective. 86% of Rotten Tomatoes. I agree. I'll give it 4 dead hair follicles out of 5.
Hooray for Bollywood!
Hey, Bull Brian. Here's a suggestion for us, since we play the Rotten Tomatoes game. All you got to do is be 60% or above to be fresh. So sometimes things can be misleading because you could be at 84%.
Right.
But you could average 60 or 61. Would you put it above 84% if you had a Rotten Tomatoes, if you could pick up a hotline and call the Mr. Rotten Tomato?
Talk about this one?
Yeah.
Is it 86%?
Oh, sorry, 86. I heard 84. I don't know why.
Oh,
he said 84, but it's at 86.
Okay, sorry. What's your question?
Would you have it higher than 86?
No, that feels very... That's actually a good question. What?
I'm going to ask you for every single one of these if you think it should go up a little, because we do it all the time. We go, oh my God, I can't believe it's that high. I can't believe Die Hard with a
right.
vengeance.
With a soft taco is that, and then this is this, and now how about are we about right at 86?
I was thinking about it, at the score specifically, and I was like, you know, if anything, it feels about right, but I also have a hard time. I have a hard time picturing anyone not at least acknowledging this is a good movie.
Like, it's hard if you do that math. Almost everything's 100 that you like. Unfortunately, yeah. So we higher than 86, lower than 86, or are we right there?
Right there. It makes sense that 14% of people don't like horror films, that think it's inappropriate, don't like seeing kids getting injured. You know, there's always that, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't even. I'm just saying, I wouldn't even break it down that far. I'd just say when you see the scores on all the movies we look at, some are very like, oh, come on, right. And some are, whoa, that's way too.
This feels this just right about
there.
Right.
86. Yes. Okay. Great there score. You go. A Father's Lament, as read by Adam Carolla.
Sorry,
guys. I have shouted to every human being on the planet 1,001 times that everything I got out of life, I got from playing football, especially Pop Warner
Same
football.
Here.
Pee-wee football taught me all I needed to know about life. And furthermore, I feel like it's enabled me to excel in a vacuum of education, ability to read or do long division, with a family that's sort of hobbled and disabled. I've managed to overcome almost everything because of what I learned from age 7 to age 14 playing Pop Warner football, and beyond in high school a little bit, but mostly all the lessons had been taught by the time I was done with Pop Warner football. I'm one of the few people I know who played 7 years of Pop Warner. Most people join. Most people join up at 10 or 11 or something like that. I had played 4 years by then. I started as young as you can start, which is 7, and went through. And then other people have high school that starts earlier, so they have a freshman team or whatever it is in the 9th grade. My high school started in the 10th grade, and I started Pop Warner when I was 7. So. Yet it's hard to play longer than me in right. Pee-wee football because they don't start you in contact at 6, and most people are off to high school by 14. I just happen to have it work this way. Everything I learned from that. My son then is obsessed with football, knows every player in the league.
Right, the encyclopedia.
Is pretty much an encyclopedia, and will probably be known one day as the scared Jim Rome.
Well, Jim Rome was the scared Jim Rome.
He's the more scared Jim Rome.
I saw that Jim Everett clip.
Every time Chrissy Everett comes over that coffee table, he's going to treat every guest that way. Famous clip, Gene Graham.
Can't wait to see it.
You guys should.
It's pretty great.
All right.
You should go. It's great. It's like Jim Everett was also known as Mount Everest.
Oh, that's funny. Mount Everest?
Yeah, something like that.
I like that.
He was a big little dude. Immobile in the pocket.
No, but he was also one of the earlier big quarterbacks.
Okay,
he was like 6'6". He was a big dude, but he was a little scared of the rush. And he was a Rams quarterback, and he got sort of a label hung on him in a world where other tough guys stood in the pocket,
took the hit,
and released the ball. He went down pretty quick and didn't take the hit. But to exacerbate things, he was a big dude. He was probably one of the bigger guys at the quarterback position. He was a big quarterback. And so he was doing a famous interview with Jim Rome. He was just sort of sitting across the desk from him in one of those like cable studios. Mm-hmm. And he basically just said, you know, people sort of call you Chris Everett. And he said, the tennis player, not right. Jim Everett. And he said, say it again to my face.
Oh, no.
And he said it again.
Oh, no. Oh, geez.
Now wait till you're ready, Gary.
This leaves a little bit of head, but isn't the whole thing.
He's like, bet you won't say it again. Bet you I will.
Chris, well, let me tell you a little secret. That You know, we're sitting here right now, and if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett to my face one more time...
I already did it twice.
You call one more time, we better take a station break.
Well, it's a five-minute segment, or five-segment show. We got a long way to go.
Well, we do.
We got a long way to go.
We do.
I'll get a couple segments out of you before.
Well, it's good to be here with you, though.
Well, it's good to see you,
too. Because you've been talking like this behind my back for a long time.
But now I said it right here.
Right, exactly.
Well, we got no problem with
that. Well, I think that you probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris.
As described, he went over the top of the desk and...
No, he went through the desk.
Through the desk. Yeah. The music was added, of course, later, but that was a terrifying moment.
It was a great moment. All right, so Sonny...
Sweeps week.
Sonny loves football, but is worried about injuries. And... every year, he says to me, I'm thinking about playing tackle football. And every year, I say to him, let's see, how old are you? I would have been in my third season by now. But if you want to play, I got your back. And then the conversation goes away, and then it comes up again. Our latest conversation was that he wanted to play tackle football, but he was scared of the coaches. And
what?
I said,
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I said... you know, when I played, we didn't have one coach or two coaches. We had six coaches that were big, scary guys that would call you candy asses. And they would do things that were like intentionally concocted to intimidate.
So he got this idea from you to be afraid of them.
I told him I had tough guys. They didn't, you know, they're all bark and a little bit of bite, but they had weird, I mean, stuff they would never do. For instance, water, bad for you. They never give you water.
Well, all right, let's talk about that, because you played in the Valley, 105, 110. I played in Louisiana, 100 with humidity,
right.
Knee-buckling humidity. Not only was it no water, but we would take a water break, and to show what kind of man you would cup your hands, they would fill it with water, and you would just let it go between you.
That
was mental toughness
Make
drill.
It tough.
Yeah. Make you tough.
Yeah.
You
ramp
even
up.
You couldn't even splash it in your face. And another thing you couldn't do today, coaches, Gina, used to, and Brian, you played the game, mm-hmm. they would use your face mask as a handle.
Oh, yeah.
That was just a handle to shake you.
I love
if
that.
If you touched a kid's face mask today,
that's assault.
That kid would own the school
and
the district
can
and
you
everything
at least,
else.
Can you at least call them ladies anymore? Because that always made me laugh.
They would call us not. Pansies.
Oh. And come on, ladies.
Candy ass.
There's a picture of me, Gary, playing for the Falcons where I'm just standing on the sideline. And the coach is just, I think he's just like resting his hand on my face mask. Now, I wasn't even being disciplined. He was just.
That's where it goes.
Yeah, that's where objectifying you.
That's where it goes. Yeah. But.
We weren't allowed to swallow the water. Remember, you had to spit it out.
Yeah, just a rinse. You don't want to cramp up, do you? Nah, I'd like to die of dehydration. You're right, coach. Thank you. So they beat the crap out of you. And they do a lot of things that were just sort of inherently intimidating. They would bring one coach. I remember Mr. Fitzgerald brought his barbell set and said, "We're going to find out who the strongest kid on this team is." So he just kept piling weight on to see who could hoist it over their head until everyone dropped off. I was the strongest kid on the team before puberty. Once puberty kicked in, the caveat is always
Ray
before,
took over.
Before puberty. Oh, sorry. He's holding, I'm talking to Coach Burr and Coach Podley, and he's holding my chin strap. But he's making sure that if I get out of line, he's going for...
He was on his way up.
He's on his way up.
And so, just for a quick contrast, I played sports. I played soccer, t-ball, softball, basketball, all in childhood. And the name of our soccer team was the Sugar Babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the name of our t-ball was the Sunshiners. So I think I had a little bit of a different experience than you guys did.
Yeah, baseball was easy. I always played baseball as well. Baseball was easy and fun. And
it's more about routine, more about just do it 1,000 times and get that swing level.
You'd have fun, and practice was easy, and batting practice and all that kind of stuff, shagging balls and everything. But football was hard, and the coaches were intimidating. And, you know, they did a lot of stuff that didn't feel good at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Sonny wants to experience that. It's also, the further you get away from it, the older you get, the harder it is to step into it. It's not unlike gymnastics, and that if you don't get started early on that balance beam and tumbling, it's hard just to, in high school, walk into the gym. Now, there's some phenoms that can do that. I don't think Sonny's going to be that guy. So I've made peace with the fact that I don't think he's ever going to play tackle football, but he wants to, which is a weird thing. It's just he's intimidated.
Would he be more comfortable, and would you be willing to maybe get in there and help coach?
I don't know that
helmet's
that would
not a chair.
help him. I don't know that that would help him overcome whatever that is.
Yeah.
That
might be worse.
It takes to play to make it, it's a thing that you have to want to hit people.
Yeah, it's kind of like boxing in the sense I imagine having not boxed, but like you're donning the pads and you're hitting people off as hard as you can.
Yeah, and that's not
and getting it.
Not in his DNA.
So in other words, one day he will write a book entitled "I Played Even Less Than Howard Cosell."
Yes, but
he'll stick with Flag.
He's a world champion talker. He knows all the stats and he knows all the players. So he's gonna have Jim Everett's grandson kick the crap out of him one day, and we can look forward to that. All right, we got Fit or BS over here. We're going with the all workout edition. I'll tell you that in a second. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Oh, Geico. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? Well, just go to your computer, fire it up, go to geico.com, 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why not save some money? Why not get a little extra money? Why not put that money in your pocket? Why not? Or you'll find out. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance at Geico. All right. Let me clean off the calls here, and then we'll play the game. This is the workout version, right, Vinny?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, what's better, walking 5 miles or running hard for a quarter mile or something like that? Good, I like that. Dylan, 24, New Jersey.
Baseman, Bold, Gina, Vinny, get it on.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm. I have a bit of a dilemma, and now knowing that Vinny's on, I have a question for him, too, if you guys will have it. But My dilemma is, I set tile for a living, I'm self-employed, but there's no good name for my profession. I mean, you have carpenter and plumber and electrician and mason, but tile setter just doesn't really, doesn't get the ladies going. I mean, even janitors have sanitation officer. Mm-hmm. So I just wondering if you can help me out with some sort of name for my profession that doesn't just sound so lame.
Mm. Are these like
alliteration is always good. How about tile tech?
Oh, I like that.
It's good.
TT.
Tile Tech, okay.
Tile Tech.
I'm into that.
What kind of work do you do?
Mostly residential, marble, bathrooms, kitchens, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You're a square bear.
That's he's not going to get
that sounds,
that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah. Sounds like a bottom. Well, grout is silica, so you could be a silica engineer. No chick will ever know what that means.
Like Silica Valley?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You what make are you apps? Doing
later? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
Dylan, are you making like okay it. Money?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Living in a wealthy area, rich white women. Yeah, it goes well.
Yeah. You got a good wet
the job.
You got a good wet saw?
Oh, yeah, of course. Actually, I have Italian tile snappers that I prefer to use. They're much quicker, but wet saws are always good.
Italian tile snapper is the wheel where you put the tile down. It's got like foam rubber on both sides. You go zzz, and you score the top and snap it.
Okay.
Versus cutting through it.
Okay.
See, like if you're doing drywall, you don't cut through the drywall. You score it with a knife and snap it.
All right. I didn't
There's
know that.
Certain things you can score. Like you can't do that with plywood. You can't score plywood or make a little blade mark in plywood and then
the
snap it.
Jagged pieces.
But you won't. It's impossible. But a tile you can do it with, some tile, and you can do it with stuff like you can do it with like cement board, like Hardy Backer, right? You can score it and snap it, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't use the same tool, but it's the same thing. You take a razor with a line and you snap it in half, and it's easy peasy.
Yeah.
Did you say Hardy Backer?
Hardy Backer.
Is he friends with Keyless Chuck?
He's a guy who is on the team that Sonny will never try out for. Hardy Backer. It's a good name for an inside backer. All right. Yes, we're showing Gina how to score and snap a tile. There you
cool.
go. Score it and snap it. There you go. All right. Thank you. What's your question, Dylan?
Oh, yes, for Vinny. I'm so glad that you're on. So being that I work in the trades, lots of the foods that you guys talk about, it's not really easy to throw in a cooler in the morning. So I'm just wondering if you had an idea of how to stick to your no sugar, no grains thing, because, I mean, sandwiches and deli meats, that's kind of the go-to, but do you have anything, any idea for things you can pull out of the fridge and toss in the cooler before you leave for work?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You know, anyone can boil eggs the night before. You're messing around the house. You throw some eggs in. You could do it twice, three times a week. So you have eggs in there. You have olives in there. You have cheese in there. You can have cold cuts to mix in with it. You don't want to sit there and have a whole diet of cold cuts. And, you know, any meat you cook at night, you could throw in that little pack in the morning, too.
How about all these packs you can get at the Trader Joe's and beyond now that have the mini things of cheese and the mini things of salami, and it's so much easier now.
Baby Bell, you can actually like get hot during the day. I wouldn't go re-refrigerate it, but if you're going to have two or three Baby Bells, they can get hot because they're encased in that
wax,
and you're good to go. There's so many things to do.
Well, and a lot of those dried meats and stuff aren't even refrigerated anyway.
Right, Genoa salami and all this, you know, all the Italian hard salamis and everything.
Sure. All right, Dylan, there you go.
Cool, thank you very much.
I could always remember when I was doing that for a living, most of the time we'd work in civilization, in which case someone would just go on a Mexican food run, but when I was building a house up in Malibu, sometimes you'd get to the point where you had to pack a lunch because you're up in the hills of Malibu and there was no place around. And I was just the laziest bachelor in the world, and I'd throw like an apple in a pack of raisins or something stupid that I found. I'd get a little baggie and a handful of generic cereal or something, and then we'd sit around at lunch. And the guys that were married would open their thermos with the stew in it and stuff like that, or their honey bunny made them a pastrami sandwich, and I'd just staring down that barrel of this green apple and his raisins, and I was like, ugh. And it's one thing when you're sitting in air conditioning all day, it still sucks, but when you're really working, like when you're working and you're on your feet and you're stacking stuff and moving, and then there's that apple and the raisins and the dried cereals, it's like, but I could never get it together enough to the night before make a nice sandwich for myself.
Let's turn this into a learning for other people that might be listening. If you're doing that, you're not just releasing insulin, you're releasing ghrelin. And in about 30 minutes after you have that apple and raisins, you're going to be starving.
I was dying for a nap. That would be my other thing, too. Well, so here's my point. In my never-ending, never-been-a-better-time-to-be-poor, go, you know, if I were me and I was 24 and this was back then now just go to Trader Joe's, go pick up all the meats and all the packs and all the things,
pre-whatever,
and boil some eggs. You listen to Vinny, and you're good. All right, real quick, and then we'll get to the game. Tom, 42, Arkansas.
Adam.
Carolla, what's going on?
Ball, Gina, Vinny. So I have two federal laws I want to propose.
All right.
One being the a-hole law, where you can punch anybody you want in the face, either daily or every quarter, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a law already?
Then you, but you can identify who you don't want to be around, and then that person will straighten out their behavior as well.
So you punch people in the face, and the other one is what?
Yep. Strong.
Yeah.
And, it's good contender.
And then the other one is you get to shove somebody off the road once a year. So you choose wisely, but it makes everybody kind of straighten their behavior up a little bit, not knowing if that guy behind you is going to pit maneuver you or not. So there you go. Two laws. Makes it pretty easy to straighten behaviors up.
Thanks, Tom. How's your weird facial hair holding up?
My weird facial hair?
You sound like a guy with weird facial hair.
I have patchy facial hair, so I don't let it grow out.
Oh.
How did you know that?
I just
so you're right.
It would be weird if he let it go.
Patchy.
Mm-hmm. What's your descent? Very. Asian, Hispanic, another troublemaking, I mean, another group?
Irish.
Irish with the patchy.
That's not good.
Now, what do? You work around metal and not much else? What's going on?
No, I'm a charter pilot.
Charter pilot?
Ooh.
What do you fly? What kind of equipment do you fly?
Piper Seminole. double twin engine.
Twin engine prop?
Yes, turboprop.
Well, you stay busy, you work every day?
I do, yes.
That's what you want. The number one thing you want in a pilot is anger.
Yeah.
You want a guy who says, look, I'm going to buzz this guy's tail fin, man.
Just so we're clear, the pilot would like to run people off the road.
We'd like to ram people out in the highways, the byways, and the skyways.
And maybe punch them if they're
unruly. The one guy who's not affected by traffic at all, the guy's in the sky.
Right. So therefore, when I do drive in traffic, it's more frustrating.
Yeah. I get it. What is what's your beat? Like, what does the bulk of your work come from?
Well, Northwest Arkansas is home to two very large corporations, one that you shop at fairly often and one that you may eat fairly often.
Just
so,
give us the names.
What does it rhyme with? Shargett?
Okay. No, it's Walmart. Walmart and Tyson.
It's a very big corporation.
Yeah. And they have executives that need to move around?
Correct.
I get it.
Cool.
And you move them around. All right.
Correct.
And the plane, how will it do on one engine?
One engine it will do, but it's quite frightening to do it that way. I mean,
I get it. I'm always amazed at twin engines planes that will do on one engine.
Will do, like you can safely or can continue to fly?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you can fly. You can fly for as long as you need to. It depends on the weight as well, the weight distribution. You can feather a prop and have it have that engine rotate and give you some lift. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, there's always something that you can do to make it easier, so...
How are you fixed for drinks on the plane? You got booze on the plane?
No drinks.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
What's up with that? I thought the whole flying private thing, that was one of the perks.
Yeah, I mean, it's small. It's six-seater.
But it's turboprop. You would think that Walmart would use like a G4, G5?
No, they do. They have other planes in their fleet.
This is middle management.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the VPs.
We're
not for CEO.
Right, we're a small company we're a small company that they use on the side.
All right. Why don't you get a sixer onto that plane and really impress the executives?
Exactly.
I got to tell
you, maybe they should start like a Uber flight service.
It's devastating. Last time I got on a plane was at Sonoma, coming back with Leno. I was like, "Where's the beer?" And they're like, "We don't have beer." And I'm like, "What the hell are we doing here, people?" Why are we flying private?
This is a private jet, after all.
This is a private jet. All right, last one, and then we'll play the game. Let's talk to Ty, 40, Westminster. Westminster.
Hi, Adam.
What's going on?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Gina.
Hey.
So in the midst of the exciting Thursday night football game, I want to run by a rule change for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it's set up right now during kickoff, basically... the ball is going to go on the 25, and it's taken away the most exciting play in football, right?
The kick return.
So, yeah, taking it to the house, right, Adam?
Sure. It potentially the most exciting play. It never seems to happen.
20% of the time.
Or even less. Like, it's always crazy. When you see like the Miami Dolphin guy take it to the house, it's like not since 1974 has somebody taken it to, and it's like really it seems like it would happen more often. But go ahead.
Okay, so the kicker kicks it past the end zone where the returner cannot return the ball. The ball goes on to 25, but if the kicker kicks it to the end zone, the returner catches the ball in the end zone and chooses to down the ball instead of taking the ball out. The ball goes on the 15.
So thus giving him incentive to take it out.
Mm.
I agree. No, I like it. I hear what you had to say. I agree. The NFL and the players and the union and everything are trying to cut back on injuries.
Yeah, it's going to go the other way.
One of the reasons they don't like the kickoffs is all the injuries and the trauma and the wedge busters and everything like that. So you're right from a pure fan standpoint.
Yeah.
Yes, give them incentive to take it out. On the other hand, it's not gonna pass. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea. Instead of down, if you down it, fine. You want to play it safe? you don't get the full benefit, the full reward.
Yeah, I think it's going to go the other way, sadly. Because as fans, we'd like to see the kickoff return, but they want to disincentivize players from returning it.
But I like where your head's at, Ty.
Okay, Adam. Thank you.
Listen, we appreciate it. We respect it. You want to see black people concuss? We like that. But we're just saying the rules committee is not probably, the players union probably not going to go for that.
Well, run it by Rich Eisen for me and see what he thinks about it. And ask your friends, ask Damashek and all those. Brian, what do you think about it, Brian?
Like I said, as a fan, it'd be fun to see. Those kickoff returns can be really exciting. Obviously, really very exciting part of the game, but you're going to see them try to eliminate the kickoff
return. Ty, we covered it. We're simpatico. It's a good idea. It's unfortunately, they're trying to cut down on injuries, so it's not going to happen. All right. Shall we play Fit or BS with Vinny Tortorich?
Is that health advice you got making you fit or fat? Let's get the real deal. From Vinny Tortorich, as we play Fit or Bullshit.
All right. First off, I want to apologize to Dylan for last week. Now I have a frog. Sorry, folks. That's professional. Dylan, I apologize. We did play the game that you said we played, and that means nothing to anyone except Dylan. Okay.
Dylan!
Wait, don't you owe him like 20 or 40 bucks now?
I gave him the 20 already. And then he didn't want to take it. I'm like, no,
nice
it's
guy.
A bet. Come on. Okay, exercise edition. Number one, you can only do one aerobic exercise for the next year. Do you A, cycle, and that's either outdoors or indoor cycling, and B, rowing, or C, running? Now, you want to get the most bang for your buck. You can only do one. What's going to give you the most bang for your buck?
Right. And so we're not going to say, well, running's tough on your joints, because we're not really talking about joints. We're talking about burning calories, moving, and all that stuff. Rowing feels like a lot of movement and feels good, but it feels a little less aerobic than, let's say, cycling. Although cycling is I'm going to go rowing.
I'm glad you said that. I'm going to go rowing, too. When I went to the gym, that was my favorite workout, and I got the best results from it. So I hope it's rowing.
Yeah, it sucks because it's harder. But I'm going to, I don't know, you're a cyclist. I'm going to go cycling.
Okay, I'm going to put them in. The correct answer is running, but I'm going to put them in order as to what you get out of them, just to help the audience out. Cycling is the worst of the three because you're only working the lower part of your body and you're perched on a seat, so you're not getting any weight-bearing exercise at all. So cycling out of the three is the worst. Rowing is actually pretty good because you're getting upper body, lower back, everything, legs. The problem with rowing is, again, it's not a weight-bearing exercise. So your body needs to have something to respond to. You need to jolt your body. You can't be sunny in life.
Sure.
So running would be the best. You're actually getting something out of it besides just the aerobic activity. All right, the next one. Which of the following is the best way to put on muscle? Now, we want to gain muscle here. And we're talking lean muscle mass. Number one is CrossFit.
Now, let's see. That'd be like taking big tractor tires and flipping them
instead
over.
Instead of rolling them the way you're supposed to, you just flip them end over end. I'd like to go to a class and just explain that to these people.
I would like to show all the impoverished nations of the world us not only on rowing machines going nowhere, but taking truck tires and turning them the wrong direction, going, that's the kind of time we have, bitches.
Yeah,
brought us a tractor tire. Thank you. Wait, what?
And then after we're done flipping a tractor tire, we take a sledgehammer to it and just start beating. We look like crazy people with this
CrossFit. But that's how prosperous we are.
Yeah,
that's
how
out of problems we are. All right. So the CrossFit.
A is CrossFit. B is powerlifting. You have a squats, deadlift, this sort of thing. Clean and jerk, snatch. That's a clean. All right. So, and C, bodybuilding, meaning isolating exercises. Thanks, Gary. C is bodybuilding, isolating parts, doing, things like barbell curls and flies and all this type of stuff to add muscle the way the bodybuilders do. We want to get the most bang for your buck.
I'm going to say Olympic-style lifting.
CrossFit.
I'm going to go powerlifting. Same.
Because CrossFit, you're working the more parts of your body at once.
Right.
That's my guess.
Squats and your everything has to be involved when you're doing that. I'm going powerlifting.
Okay. And Adam is powerlifting.
Power, and cross for Brian.
All right. Powerlifting is the best. B, you guys are correct. Brian, the second best would be CrossFit. The problem with CrossFit is the way it's done, you're burning up a lot of glycogen for nothing. You're just burning through blood glycogen, blood sugar, that you then have to go put back on. The best thing is the way we used to do it for football, Adam. You do your squats, your deadlift, and then you just go eat a ton of eggs, and your body will just build. It's compound movements. You're moving a lot of muscle per movement instead of just isolating one.
Plus, so you have to deal with the CrossFit chicks. The chicks that are ripped, become a way of life for them. And they're doing a move where they're climbing two ropes at once. They can't limit themselves to one gym rope. They got to go, oh no, I need two ropes, maybe a third for my cooch to scooch. And it's like, come on, douche, with the two ropes. It's hard enough with the one rope. How about you use the one rope and get up as fast as you can? No, I need two ropes.
And the jump rope, too, is triple unders. They can't just do double unders. They got to do triple unders.
Yeah. And
everything is magnified.
Eventually, someone takes the rope down and they throw them on the floor and they're like, we got to shake these ropes.
Make a wave.
Yeah. We're now on, the riverfront, trying to reel out ropes.
Yep. Shaking them ropes. All right.
Number three is inspired by a girl you had on the show earlier in the week, the CrossFit lady. I heard that episode.
Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. Ninja Warrior girl. You suck at pull-ups, but you want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do negative movements, meaning you use a chair or something to get your chin above the bar and then ease yourself down?
Uh-huh. Okay, that's a negative movement. Slowly go down.
Yeah, just work it that way. Mm-hmm. Or B, use an assisted gravity machine. They're in every gym now.
Right.
If you don't have one of those, the poor man's way is get a friend to help you up by lifting your knees. Or C, just do a lot of high reps to failure on a lat pull machine, meaning the same movement, but you're doing 15, 20 reps to failure.
It's very to fail till you can't do anymore. This is a very interesting thought, as I'll tie it into Brian's movie reviews. Tired of seeing fake chin-ups in movies.
Mm. How can you tell?
Oh, you can tell.
It's insanely obvious to see them do. They get a little too high. Yep. Like, nobody gets up past their sternum. Like when you do, they do chin-ups, they go, hup, and they pull it. The bar goes like...
They look around.
They pull the bar like up to their nipples, but the rally is you use just your chin, barely. You just kind of get up, right, and then you drop down again. It's just always, you can kind of tell when they're not doing it, and they never do.
Well, that was a funny bit in 16 Candles where they pull back and they're standing on the floor.
They made fun of it. Yeah. All right, so the lowering yourself versus doing it with some assistance versus doing the lat pull down, which is some of the, a lot of the same movement, but not exactly. I feel, and I don't know if we're allowed to weave caveats in here, if you're doing the anti-gravity thing and you just keep removing 10 pounds a week, or, you keep progressively moving toward doing it all by your lonesome, I could see that
paying off,
being the most effective. But I got a weird thing. I'm going to say holding it as long as you can from the up position and lowering yourself as slowly as you can, because it replicates the action.
Okay.
Yeah. I how many more do we have? Because I don't want to agree if we're done.
No, we have one more.
All right. I too say the negative movement.
Yeah, the repeated one is what I'm going to say, because it just seems harder for a longer period of time. You get more bang for your buck, I suppose.
Wait, what are you saying?
The one is at the end that we're
lat
repeating.
Pull down.
The repeated movement till failure, is what you said. Right.
The lat pull down. Yeah.
They will all give you results, but the one that's going to work the best scientifically is by doing eccentric contraction. That's when we're contracting a muscle and lengthening. In other words, if your arm is out and you do this, this is concentric. If you do a curl, the muscle is shortening, you're making it shorter, and it's contracting. But if the muscle's already contracted and you're pulling against it, that's called eccentric contraction. Nothing builds muscle and strength more than doing negatives. in any situation. We used to do it in squats and football.
My wife's always like, why so negative? And it's like, hey, man, Vinny says that's the best way to build muscle.
Yeah, exactly. Get swole.
Yes.
So holding yourself above the bar and easing down will get you there quicker than anything else.
All right. So Gina and I got that one.
All right.
Now off. I don't know where we're at, Gary. What's the score here? Because we're in the championship round here.
I think we're tied and Brian's out.
Gina knows. Okay. We'll figure out the score and then here we go.
We're ready?
Yeah.
Okay. True, false.
Mm.
So you each have to pick one here.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a standing barbell curl is also a great core exercise. True or false?
Oh, I have an answer.
Standing barbell curl. Now, holding that barbell, I like that we had to have all different barbells. First, we just had the straight barbell, but that wasn't good enough. So then we had to have one with the zig and the zag in it.
Little kinks in it.
Then later on, someone came up with one that had hand protection over it and like another thing. We like a lot of different variations. Okay. Now, I think if you're doing it slowly or you're doing it right, it does engage the core. I feel like a lot of people are whipping and flopping. You know, they put it on your thighs and then you throw your thighs out and you kick it out and then you whip it up.
Yeah.
And that's a little less. But jerky. I think when you're going and using the correct form, I feel core engaged. But ladies first, I will let you pick a true or false, and I shall pick the opposite.
Well, I concur, because when I have to do these, I am always being yelled at to engage my core. So I thank you, and I'm going to take that as a true.
So you say true, yes. I say false, Vinny says?
It's true. And here's why I even put that in, because it's always a learning thing for me. Whether some trainer tells you to engage your core or not, it's impossible to do anything like that without, in fact, engaging your core. Even if you're whipping it up and down, you're engaging your core in some way, shape, or form. That's why I tell people, don't waste all your time doing, you can do planks and all this stuff. It's all fine. Don't waste your time engaging your core when you could do exercises that will engage your core. Squats will engage your core. The aforementioned deadlifts will engage your core. Doing overhead shoulder press will engage your core. That way, you don't have to sit around doing 1,000 sit-ups at the end.
Doing the Jane Fonda side bend.
Right.
All right. Let me engage your core, your car core, with True Car. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. That's right. People configure cars online all the time just to find out they're not available. True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory, not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual TrueCar certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So when you're ready to engage your car, you go TrueCar, man. The users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, you visit TrueCar. You see what others pay for the exact same apples-to-apples vehicle, and then you get a more confident buying experience. It is True Car. Our own Chris Max Patty used True Car. He's very happy with the experience he had driving his Prius around. True Car, some features not available in all states. All right, a couple of things. I did an interview with Bill O'Reilly a little bit earlier today, which we will play for you now, and then we'll roll right into Good Sports after that, I believe, Gary. And then we will come back, and we will do the news with Gina Grad. First, Vinny Tortorich. You can do private phone consultations with him. Just go to his website. Also, the Pure Vitamin Club. Take him every morning, man. Hey, let me ask you this, Vinny.
Yeah.
The sublingual B.
Yeah.
Put it on your tongue, let it dissolve. I find myself putting it under my tongue, letting it dissolve, and I can still sort of feel it around there. And then I go, I want to take the other multi-cap or the other whatever, but I still feel it around there.
Yeah, that,
it, you sh- obviously it's meant to dissolve under your tongue, not to be washed down.
The vitamin is already, after 30 seconds, it's already in your system. The rest is just calcium. Just wash it down.
Oh,
it's good for your health.
So once it dissolves, it's in there. The podcast, Celebrity Fitness Trainer, listen to it on iTunes. And once again, purevitaminclub.com. Yes, Vinny.
One more thing. We have a completely, absolutely free PDF at vinnytortorese.com. Go get it. It's a 15-page. It's just for you guys. You guys want to know how to lose weight really fast. I finally put it out there. People are gobbling this thing up. They love it.
This is the fast way to lose weight.
This is how you start. This is how. This is what I 4 hours with Gina in the restaurant.
And you don't have to spend 4 hours with Vinny.
No, you 0 hours with me. You just get it.
All right. Vinny Tortorich, everybody. And we'll be back with Gina Grad in the news right after this.
Hello, this is Coach Jim Harbaugh with my esteemed colleague and co-host JT Rogan. And we're excited to announce our new podcast, Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, that's coming to Podcast One.
Each week, we'll be talking to different members of the Harbaugh family, along with athletes, celebrities, and unique guests.
On different episodes, we'll have my dad, Jack, my brother, John, my sister, Joni, my wife, Sarah, and even my kids from time to time. We'll have great guests each week, and we'll attack each podcast with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Sounds pretty good to me. So join us each Tuesday on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, here on Podcast One. Also, make sure to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, on the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts. And Coach, who's got it better than us?
I know the answer to that, JT. Nobody.
Bill O'Reilly, welcome back to the show. The book is called Killing England, and it's the brutal struggle for American independence, available now on Amazon. And if you'd like to bookmark us and click through us, it just helps. And also the podcast, No Spin News. Good to talk to you, Bill.
Thanks for having me in, Carolla. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm busy. I'm okay, you know, running around promoting the book and fighting the good fight.
What is, I'm curious. And I know you do a lot of interviews. People talk about the book. They talk about you. They talk about Fox and you getting let go and all that kind of stuff. I heard you with Matt Lauer. I'm interested in talking about you, and I'm interested in talking about where you came up, your past, and the book as well. But I'm kind of curious because everyone always talks to you about politics, but I'd kind of like to talk to you about you, like where you grew up and how you came up and what your dad did and how you were shaped politically, where you went to school, the whole nine.
All right. You want to answer questions or you want me to just launch?
Well, let's say, where'd you grow up and what was your family of origin like?
Levittown, New York, which is a suburb of New York City, about 25 miles east of the city. Working class parents, both Irish. Levittown was this enormous development, full of ethnic people, lots of GIs who came back and got the real cheap mortgages to move into these little box houses, tons of kids everywhere. I went to St. Bridget's School, Catholic school, where the nuns immediately branded me a bold, fresh piece of humanity, which is a previous book that I wrote. Kind of not a wild kid, but kind of rebellious and zipped around and played a lot of sports. I grew up with Billy Joel. He was a Levittowner in the Hicksville section. I had a good childhood. My father's a former naval officer during World War II, tough guy. Grandfather, a NYPD cop in the city. So it was your Irish Catholic upbringing.
Yeah, you say your dad was a tough guy. This whole plan, what's going on today is for everyone's dad to be their kid's best friend and wet nurse and nanny and personal chef. And every guy I've spoken to who says my dad was a tough guy respected it and is fine with it. And it's the same thing I say about the dads who, you know, they do the thing where it's like, oh, boy, you got to go to every school function, and I don't care if it's at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, you better be there and you better leave work. Every kid I talked to who didn't see their dad as much as they would have liked because their dad was out working to support the family has the utmost respect for the dad and doesn't hold it against him. They just go, my dad traveled. He worked very hard.
Well, that was me. I mean, my father left the house around 6:45 and got home about 6:45. So it was a 12-hour day in the city. He was an accountant for Caltex. Didn't make a lot of money. You know, I was grumpy a lot. We didn't have air conditioning in the house. We were lived very frugally. But I understand the big picture, and I understand that my parents tried very hard to give me a better life than they had. And I really feel grateful for that. Was it an easy upbringing? No. It toughened me up. I think it gave me an outlook on the world that I've used to be successful in life. But today is a much more complex country. Back then it was like everybody did the same thing. Now that's not the case. So the skill set that you have to give your children to survive has changed, and I think that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, although all the basic tenets are still in place, we've just added a whole bunch of parsley to the side of the plate. The steak and potatoes are still there, which is outwork the guy next to you, show up early and often,
true.
Hustle,
right.
Grit, all that, you know, don't blame other people, internalize. That all that stuff is all the same, and I don't think that'll ever change, because that's just part of being a human. We've just added a whole bunch of other things that don't really matter that much, but we have to pretend like they do in order to get along.
Well, I think Hillary Clinton's message of don't blame other people is resonating across the country.
There's a struggle
in America, okay? For the Corolla and I, and I don't want to ruin your career, see the social fabric the same way. You've got to basically suffer to succeed. And that means you've got to go to school, you've got to study, you've got to get a job, you've got to be successful in the job, you've got to obey the law, you can't be smoking pot every day, you can't be drinking gin every day, if you want to succeed. I mean, and that's true. But now we're giving, society is giving people who refuse to do what is necessary a pass. They're getting a hall pass. So it's not your fault, because white privilege keeps you down. And, you know, the country's run by white supremacists, so if you're a minority, you can just forget it. I mean, this is the stuff that's out there that is so harmful. And that's one of the reasons I started writing these history books, to tell people, you know, what the real story of this country is. And please don't buy into this PC far-left lunacy, because when you do, your life's not going to be as good.
Well, I have had this argument / discussion with many people, black and white, on my podcast. And I have this answer, which is, I do not believe this country is one hundredth as racist as you might be led to believe if you turn on MSNBC. On the other hand, if it is racist to any degree, you still don't benefit from assuming that it is. It's essentially, you go to any party. So if Bill O'Reilly goes to a party or Adam Carolla goes to a party, there's going to be a certain percentage of people at this party that may wish you never walked through the front door and may not like you and may not agree with you. The point is if you obsess on it, you'll have a horrible time at the party and you might not get anything done. Drift over to the people who are fans, the people who like you, the people you recognize, the people you know. Strike up a conversation. The folks that don't want you at the party are probably never going to do anything to get you pushed out of the party. And enjoy yourself and take another shrimp. And don't assume that the guys that don't want you at the party blew a snot rocket on it. That was a long way to go, Bill, but I'm just trying to get people to enjoy their party, and I don't see.
Yeah, and that's a noble goal, Carolla. And as a party guy yourself, you know how important that is. I basically see the country as being in serious trouble right now, and I'm going to tell you something that is absolutely true that a lot of people are not going to believe. But you know this insane statue stuff let's tear the statues down and all that.
Yes.
And now in Dallas, the school board may rename schools named after Washington, Franklin, and Jefferson. You know all this is going on, right?
Right.
Okay. You know what the goal of that is?
No.
The goal of that is to rewrite the Constitution of the United States. All right? So basically, the far left was so shocked that they lost the election last November that they started a new campaign. And that campaign is, America is a bad country. It was founded by white supremacists. And now, even today, white supremacists run the show. And that if you're a minority, or if you're a person who believes in liberalism, you don't have a chance, because white privilege is going to keep you down. And that's what they're selling. And the ultimate goal is to convince so many people that that's true, that they go in and completely overhaul the Constitution, capitalism, all of that. You didn't hear a year ago white supremacists. You didn't hear that. Okay, but all of a sudden it's everywhere. Why? Because this is a designed propaganda campaign by very powerful entities with a sympathetic media backing it up. You don't see the L.A. Times and the New York Times challenge this white supremacy crap. What you see them do is attack people like me and others who not buying it. We're not buying this garbage. We know it's not true. So the folks have got to really stand up and arm themselves with the facts about what the country is and how we got where we are today. So they need to pay attention and start reading and learning to fight off these hordes. I mean, if Dallas, Texas, all right, that's not Berkeley. If the debate can be held there to knock out George Washington on a high school, are you kidding? This is madness. So we all have to mobilize, those of us who see clearly that America is a noble nation. Not perfect. No nation or no man is, or woman. But this is a country that accomplishes an amazing amount of good. Yet you listen to these far-left cranks, and we're the worst nation on the face of the earth. It makes me furious.
Well, you know, I look at it a lot. So there's a sort of psychodynamic part of this that I like to look at, which is that side is never satisfied and never satiated. They will keep going. There is no end point. They say, here's what we want. But if they get what they want, they'll move on to the next thing. And to the point where you can't even, some of it defies belief. I've always made this example. They sort of do what the anti-smoking lobby did, which is in this, you know, your dad and you and we grew up in a time where you'd smoke in a restaurant. And somebody said, hey, we don't want the smokers in amongst the other folks that are trying to enjoy their meals here. So why don't we make a smoking section? And they said, fine, move over here. And they moved over there. And then there was a smoking section. But that wasn't good enough. So they said, you know what? No smoking section. No smoking at all in the restaurant. You want to smoke? Go to the bar. So the smokers got up, they picked up their ashtrays, they went to the bar, and they smoked at the bar. And that wasn't good enough, so they said, you know, no smoking in the bar, no smoking in the restaurant, no smoking here. You want to smoke? Go stand out on the curb. And the smokers got up, and they went and stood out on the curb. Then they walked out to the curb, and they said, you're standing too close to the front door. Go down the street. You can't be close to the front. So the smokers moved down the street. Then they moved down the street and they stood in a park and they smoked. And they said, you want to know what? No smoking in the park. It's that with everything. They will never stop. It's not that they don't want no smoking in the restaurant. They want no smoking.
That's right. But that doesn't extend to marijuana. Okay, so they want you to smoke marijuana.
Well, that is true.
They carve out a clause for, and particularly in California, you know, don't smoke cigarettes, but if you want to smoke pot, you can.
Well, let's talk about the book, if we can.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I know that's why we called in. Killing England's the name of the book. Tell us about it.
Okay, Killing England, A Brutal Struggle for American Independence, tells you about Washington, Franklin, and Jefferson primarily, and how and what they did to give us the freedoms we have today. Corolla and O'Reilly would not be talking about anything if we did not have freedom of speech. So you get you're on the ground with Washington and Valley Forge. You're at the Monticello plantation with Jefferson and his slaves. We put you right there. We also introduce you to villains like Benedict Arnold, who was as craven as you could possibly be, and war criminals like Banisar Tarleton, a British commander, who committed Nazi-like atrocities on the colonists. It's an exciting book. It's like the other six. This is the seventh in the series. It's the most successful nonfiction series in history. 17 million copies of The Killing Books in print. And more importantly, it's relevant to today. Because you need to know who Jefferson was, who Washington was, who Franklin was, so you can fight these people who want to knock down Mount Rushmore and who want to put up a whole different world, a brave new world. So I'm telling people you're going to enjoy the book. Killing England is something you pick it up, you're not going to be able to put it down. But when you finish it, you're going to have powerful arguments against the loons, which is very, very important. So we came out at just the right time. And I hope everybody checks it out.
You can, again, get it on Amazon, and you know what to do. Bill, last question. For you, you're doing No Spin News now. You're doing a podcast. You're doing it from your home, and you're off, you know, broadcast television for the first time in a million years.
42 years.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts about going back to that, or is the climate just too insane for Bill O'Reilly in 2017?
It's hard. It's so hateful, and that's the word, hateful. And you know this, Corolla, because you were on the Factor a whole bunch of times. Every day of my life, all right, for 20 years at the Fox News Channel, every single day I was attacked personally. Personal attacks. Takes a toll on a human being, his family, his friends, the whole thing. Now, I endured it, and I won. And finally, the organized cabal put enough pressure on 21st Century that they said, you know, do we really need this sponsor boycott, all of this garbage? Yeah, let's just see if we can do it without them. Fine. They made a business decision. Now I have to make a life decision. Do I want to get back into this hateful swamp? Do I want to do that? You know, part of me says no. I had a nice summer in the ocean here on Long Island. But I do have scores to settle, and no doubt about that. But it has to be right. So if I get back in, it has to be right. And so I'm going to be very patient and take my time, and we'll see what develops. And that's where we are.
So last question, and this is going to sound horrible, but why the vitriol toward you? Why do people hate O'Reilly so much?
Because I had an audience of 6 million people every night. And I think I bring to the table a fact-based presentation. And you know, how many people beat me in debates? How many?
So
I bring them on,
right.
And I expose the, you know, whoever it was. It didn't have to be just liberals. Could be crazy right-wingers. Could be neo-Nazis. All right? I bring them on, and then I destroy, you know, not destroy them, but expose them, my argument stronger. And then these people could not beat me in the forum. They couldn't beat me in the forum of ideas. None of them could. And so they said, we'll get them. We'll trump up stuff. We'll lie. We'll pay people to say, to slander and smear him. And, you know, it worked eventually.
That's
where we are in this country. It's not just me.
Do you know that people
it's not
were,
just me.
Do you know that people were paid to slander you?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do?
Yes, we do.
And
that will come out. You know, this week, the one of these women who I never even saw in my life, who accused me of saying untoward things to her, we find out that she was arrested for filing a false police report in Detroit.
So,
okay? And when that's up on BillO'Reilly.com, and not only that, but a whole litany of things that this woman has done.
So this is
serious business here, and you know we're going to take care of it.
Is this a to-be-continued sort of situation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've seen the evidence, and it is stunning. And when we put it out, it's going to be a huge story.
All right. Well, please share it with us as soon as you decide to put it out. Killing England, The Brutal Struggle for American Independence, available now on Amazon. And you can check out the podcast, The No Spin News. Thanks, Bill.
All right, Adam. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Good luck. Bye.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Another thing about the Scott Peterson case that has always puzzled us is the widespread, almost unanimous opinion that Scott was guilty before one piece of evidence was introduced. If you examine every high-profile case of the past two decades, O.J., Michael Jackson, Casey Anthony, Robert Blake, the Duke lacrosse team, Dr. Conrad Murray, you'll see that every one of the defendants had some group or constituency that argued on behalf of their innocence. But Scott Peterson didn't. When we took over the case, we soon found out that it was considered an accepted fact that he was guilty.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights.
Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Good Sports, presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there. Ace Man, what's the poop?
Oh, man, I think we're going to make some picks this time.
All right.
Time.
Is that what's on the checklist, Gary? That's all that's that we, when the week began, we set out with a whole list of items, and now we're just down to NFL games.
We'll get to Rodman and NFL games. But
all right, let's start. Which game shall we go with first? Let's go with the Seahawks at the Tennessee Titans, Ace. Who do you think is going to win that one?
I'll just go Seahawks because I just think Russell Wilson, he's better than a 500 quarterback. I don't know how good the Titans are this year.
Should be good. I mean, people were very excited about them again this year going into the season. I'll go against you on that one, and I'll take the home team because it seems like this is a perennial thing. The team, well, offensive lines are bad. That's a big story this year is how bad many offensive lines are. And I think a lot of NFL teams think, well, we can get away with it because the Packers have and the Seahawks have, and to some degree for a long stretch of Roethlisberger's career, the Steelers got away with it. Yeah, but every QB doesn't play like those guys, who can run away from pressure, who can thrive in spite of not having a good offensive line. That said, the Seahawks offensive line is especially bad this year, and it will not round into shape until halfway through the season. There's some hardcore football analysis.
Yeah, I like it. All right. Next game.
Next game, it is the Oakland Raiders in our nation's capital to play Washington, D.C., and to play the Redskins.
We got the spread on these things?
No, we don't. I don't know what it is. Give me a final score, though.
The Skins. Well, it'd be good, Gary, to probably get the spread down there. I mean, it helps in your decision-making process.
That is a rematch of Super Bowl 18 when Marcus Allen made the famous run, perhaps the most famous run in Super Bowl history. Remember when he ran the one way, spun back, and ran it for glory?
Yeah, somebody just got one hand on him. He was one of those guys that never had a ton of speed, but had that on-field speed. You know, it was like him and Jerry Rice.
Handsome devil, too, Marcus Allen. Also famous for his association with the juice.
I remember, I think he was one of those guys. There's a handful of guys, handsome, black don't crack, first ballot Hall of Famers, guys entering the Hall of Fame looking like young models. And you're like, this guy's had a storied NFL career. He's entering the NFL Hall of Fame, not a gray hair. Not a crow's foot. Like, this guy's look, it's insane. That I think he was the first ballot guy, and he, I don't know, they have to wait 5 years, and he retired when he was 34, or whatever it was, but he looked brand
Who
new.
Who is Ace, go ahead and think this one through, the most handsome Hall of Famer?
I will say this, outside, and Gary's going to have to look up some pictures as we take a turn from picking games to a homoerotic highway. Mm-hmm. I will say that in all of sports, not just football and or the Hall of Fame, Octagon legend Luke Rockhold.
Luke Rockhold.
Luke Rockhold. First off, his name is Luke Rockhold.
Sounds fake, that's for sure.
Second, it sounds like he's
Rockhold.
Like he's a character on the Flintstones.
Yeah. That
Luke Rockhold is 6'3", has that body, not the body that guys like, but the body that women like, which is 6'3", 185, built like a swimmer who works out.
I was just going to say, like Michael Phelps.
And
right.
just, and you'll see some pictures of him, Gary, where his like arms are down, and it's just chiseled. And his name is Luke Rockhold.
Is he good?
Yeah, he's good, too. That's the next part. So I'll go him, then I go Marcus Allen.
You know what? I'll go controversial here. What made me think of that was...
Oh, no, look at that beautiful man.
Well, he's ruggedly handsome. You're Luke Rockhold.
Former champ.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Never heard of him in my life.
Lost to Michael Bisping on short notice, but he's got a big fight coming up soon.
Yeah.
David Branch.
Now look at that.
Who knows his MMA
back
then. That's
all, man.
Well, I'll go here. To me, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you could make at least a pretty strong case for one O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
He's very handsome.
Prime. Yes.
Marcus Allen might challenge him. I love Namath, though. I don't know if he's classically handsome, though, but but a greater cocksman the world's never known.
No, I agree. Now you sound like my son. a greater cocksman.
You know what's weird?
I'm going to say this. You ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Speaking of Hall of Fame, Jason Taylor.
Women love... I had no idea. I'm immune to his physical appeal.
You've not been in his presence.
Yes, I have. I didn't know. I didn't know that he was handsome.
You've not been on multiple episodes of Dancing with the Stars with the guy. The guy is about 6'6", 6'7", has the waist of a gymnast, and has this mocha-colored skin, like just this perfect colored skin, almost like a Brazilian backside, kind of caramel colored skin with these like green eyes or something. He's all chiseled everything, and there's just nothing. And you can't believe that the guy was playing defensive end in the NFL at 230
couple
pounds.
Things about him. One, he is a great example for me of I am secure with myself, and so I can weigh in and say, yes, Tom Brady is a handsome devil. Young Marlon Brando, handsome devil. Other people that are considered by all women to be super attractive guys, there are certain guys I would walk right by and never know. Jason Taylor's one of those. I would never know that he is a physically appealing man. The other thing about him...
It's hard to miss him because he's so tall.
I know. I've been around. I've met him. He's a nice fella. But I will say this. Before I actually met him once, I was once interviewing him over the phone about a decade ago, and I thought... crazy small world. My parents were trying to sell their house in Pittsburgh, and Jason, they said, oh, guess who came through the house the other day? It was Jason Taylor's sister, and Jason was with her because he's looking to help buy the house, and they came through, and this is in Pittsburgh.
Hold
but I'm
on.
In like
an NFL all-star looking to help out a family member financially.
That's right
and African-American. Dave, I've never heard of such.
He's a Pittsburgher, and so but he's in Miami at the time, I believe. I'm in Los Angeles talking to him, and I say, "Hey," so I recount that anecdote for him. "Hey, I heard you were just in Pittsburgh. Guess where you were? In my house that I grew up in." And Jason Taylor said, "Huh."
I know.
That doesn't make you think that's not a crazy small world, Jason Taylor?
That is my favorite part of life. My favorite part of life is when you have to think to yourself. I had this with Nick Cage, I was interviewing on the telephone. Nick Cage had a Lamborghini Mira. I said, Nick Cage, you had a Lamborghini Mira? I know that's one of your favorite cars. I said, yeah. I said, I have a Lamborghini Mira. It's a very exotic car. And he went, okay. And it's like, I want to get to that point. I want to get to that point in life where somebody could say to me, you know, your buddy Ray Oldhofer? Yeah, that guy's working on my house right now. And I go, all right. That's what I, Catherine McPhee, I interviewed her. Mm-hmm. She grew up in like Studio City, San Fernando Valley, went to Notre Dame High School, blah, blah, blah. And in the height of her, you know, American Idol or whatever, I had her on the phone and I said, all these people are always from parts unknown. You know, they're from they're from Plentywood, Montana and Kentucky and whatever. And they come in. I said, you grew up in Studio City. I grew up in Studio City. And she went, okay. And it's always a part of me that makes, I think maybe they think you're lying or they've just, they're so far above you, whether it's Kathy McKee or Nick Cage or Jason Daly, that who cares?
They're hi-hatting you is what they're doing.
I want to do that. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do one with me?
What? Yeah, I mean, Adam Carolla, it was Carly Simon, Catherine McPhee, I suspect, would have had a different response to that. All right, go ahead.
Do one to me.
I also have a funny story, but all right, about Adam Carolla once doing that to me. But anyway, once giving me the, response. But all right, here we go.
Do it to me.
Hey, Adam Carolla, I can't believe it's you. Do you know that you, I'm trying to think of what you would, do you know that I, for the last 8 years, have used a commode, and I found out from my great-grandfather that you installed that commode when you were 20 years old?
Huh.
I'm sorry, that wasn't a good one. One from Ace. I once interviewed, I've told this story innumerable times, my interview for The Man Show with Jimmy Kimmel and Daniel Kellison and Bobcat Goldthwait and Adam Carolla. I go in there and it didn't go well at all. It went very, very, very poorly. And a couple days later, our mutual pal, Cousin Sal, I was talking to him, and Adam Carolla walked by. Now, I didn't know Carolla at all at this point, and Sal had helped facilitate the interview and everything else, and he said, hey Carolla, Damashek over here says the interview didn't go well. It went all right, right? He was an all right guy. And Carolla said, he's like Stephen Wright without the material, and turned and walked away. That's not funny. That hurt my feelings.
All right, let's bring it home. We picked nobody.
No, we picked one. We split on the Seahawks-Titans gem. There's your Week 3 NFL preview for you. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek here. That's a wrap on another week of Good Sports on Podcast One Sports. Good Sports.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Goldsboro, North Carolina. A 55-year-old man was arrested after stealing a large amount of country sausage. The man was arrested while fleeing the scene on a bicycle! Definitely not a Jew.
All right. We got the news here ready to crank up. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Equifax recently announced a breach that could affect 143 million Americans. That is more Americans combined than voted in last year's election. So that's a lot of Americans, people. 200,000 credit card numbers were accessed, plus personal data, including Social Security numbers. Let's be careful. Let's get LifeLock. It's 2017, knocking on the door, 18. You're online all the time, all the shopping you're doing, all your information is out there. It's the cost of doing business, and it's barely anything. Think about how much money you save doing all that you do online, shopping, banking, everything online. It's literally hundreds of dollars a month you save. Why not spend a couple bucks a month and get yourself some LifeLock? Detects a wide range of identity threats you may miss if you're just monitoring your own credit. like someone stealing from your 401k. Let's not let that happen. If there's a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. It's LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam, that's Adam, for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com now and save 10%.
All right, Gina Grad, some news.
Well, what am I doing? Yeah. So excited.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Okay. So CNN reports that Avril Lavigne is now the most dangerous celebrity to search for online, according to the...
I love that girl.
Well, you better watch out if you Google her. This is according to cybersecurity company McAfee. The report, quote, reveals which celebrities generate the riskiest search results that could potentially expose their fans to malicious websites.
Max Zapata. When we were driving home from Pebble Beach this year... Mm-hmm. We had some dudes in a car. Let's see. There was Matt D'Andrea, and there was you, there was myself.
And Sonny.
There was Sonny.
Good amount of testosterone.
Man,
amen.
I'll tell you, that thing, people are quiet about Avril Lavigne, but pop the tin, pop the top on her almonds. Everybody's up for Avril Lavigne.
I'll take some.
This is a definitive tool tune.
Love this song.
It's a great song.
People love chick pop songs.
People forget that Tool tunes are, by definition, good songs. You just don't want them blasting out the window.
You want everybody
song.
To know you're listening.
Yeah.
We listen to the song 8 times.
It's a great song. It's a fantastic pop song.
We were jamming pretty hard to this.
Pretty hard.
Brian, windows down for this one. That would let the world to know.
Oh, my.
And it spilled into the erotic as well.
Her, by the way, so I'm a little worried now.
I would be, and you can leave this on as I tell you why you're in trouble.
We decided that little bad girl wearing the tie with the wife beater, that was pretty hot.
That black eyeliner.
I dug it, yeah.
I love this song. Listen, you don't have to. I can tell you everything because it was all settled at the In-N-Out Burger in Modesto, right? She did this when she was like 17, too.
This was written and produced by The Matrix, which was a songwriting trio producers, and they had a whole string of hits. They were, very successful.
Are they Swedish? A lot of successful Swedish songwriters.
Great question. I don't know what.
A lot of Britney stuff, and yeah.
She is 37 now.
Wow.
I believe this is all based. Now I had a few beers in me, so let's. Hey, it was a road trip. It's a road trip.
Didn't she marry someone from Creed or Nickelback or something?
No, it was the little kid from Sum 41.
She was married to the singer.
Now she's on to the Creed.
Divorced, and now she's with the guy from Creed.
Now she's with Creed. All right.
I googled it.
Yeah,
Chris,
she's 37.
You better toss that phone after I tell you.
Cosmetic and clothing line as well. Oh, yeah.
Breaking. I had no idea.
Dropped an album not too long ago.
2 years younger than me, and I always thought of her as like a little kid.
Yeah, she's like your little sister. Yeah.
Well, as memory serves, again, I had a couple IPAs in me. It'd be a pretty long weekend. But I think she was 37. Mother, I think.
Clothing company,
cosmetics company, sold millions and millions.
We mixed her up with Natalie Imbruglia, too. We were Googling
Natalie
Imbruglia. We had a whole good stretch of just...
You did a little torn?
We did all chicks. We had a whole stretch of nothing but hot chicks.
How about Sheryl Crow? Yeah, Nelly Furtado. Who else was in that group?
Nelly Furtado. I should have brought her up, but we didn't go that deep. Sheryl Crow. There's a little too pedestrian
Shania
for that
Twain,
list.
I think.
Twain.
What about, what's her name? 10,000 Maniacs.
Natalie Merchant.
Yeah,
no, we didn't get
Ashley
into her.
Ashley Simpson,
I think, made the cut.
Yeah, we got an Ashley Simpson.
Really?
We're not attracted to her, but...
Michelle Branch, Faith Hill. I'm looking at my history right now.
We just were going... Yeah, what was the date? What was the time?
it doesn't say that. I'm just looking at my Spotify history. We were actually listening to their music.
Oh, you sought it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were listening to their songs.
Oh, we were jamming. Because what else would a bunch of dudes do on their way back from the track?
I can think of nothing.
Don't sleep on Nelly Furtado.
No, I love this song. And she's cute, too.
Yeah.
Canadian.
I'm moving to Canada, man.
Yeah. All right, so here's the problem and why Chris should probably burn that phone and get a new one. The study conducted by McAfee and now in its 11th year highlights the dangers of clicking on suspicious links when searching for celebrity-focused content. Levine dropped off the scene for a bit. I'm sure you already know this. Starting in 2014 as she was grappling with Lyme disease. But in August, she announced via social media that she would have some new music coming, and the search for Levine's music has contributed to this huge threat level. Now she's coming back, everybody's Googling her, and all their computers are getting infected.
Yeah, we can't figure out. Now, obviously, the Sum 41 that and then the Creed guy, that's a little troubling. You know what I mean?
That's the spotty resume.
Right. That's the troubling part. Not the body of work, not the body itself.
Not at all, no.
But those dudes... Yeah, those dudes both I find troubling.
Is Creed a Christian rock group or not?
I think they have their roots in the faith-based world, but they were a secular,
like in a Jars of Clay kind of way.
I feel like Jars of Clay are more Christian than Creed.
All right. So another update from the Kevin Hart saga.
Is she 37? Do I got her thing right? Keep going. Old.
All right.
Kevin Hart.
I'd take the under.
So,
it's either 34 or 37.
32.
Oh, still so young. All right. There you go.
Are you so much happier? Are you 5 years happier now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So People reports that the woman at the center of the Kevin Hart sex extortion video scandal came forward at a press conference Wednesday saying, quote, "I'm not an extortionist. I had nothing to do with these recordings."
Thank God Gloria Allred has shit out enough kids so that these people can be chaperoned for the rest of eternity.
Lisa Bloom. The next batch
of nut jobs have somebody to stand next to them when they go and have their press conference. By the way, it's like what they need a scary clown that looks concerned standing to their left. Is that how important is that to a press conference?
Like she has to be there now.
Jesus Christ.
So Lisa Bloom is her attorney. So the actress and model name is Montia Sabag. She appeared at her lawyer's office to set the record straight about her intimate relationship with the actor and comedian, saying she...
Does Lisa Bloom have children? Because my feeling is if she doesn't, she's going to have to adopt, because who is going to stand next to the next generation of nutty people while they make proclamations about things we don't care about?
She has two kids, according to
Barry. Okay, well, one of them is going to have to be able to stand next to crazy people and look concerned.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So saying she didn't know she was being recorded either that night at the Las Vegas hotel about a month ago. The attorney also spoke directly to Kevin Hart during the conference, saying they're not asking him for any money, but they are asking Hart to help find the real bad guys.
Yeah. At some point, a check shall be written.
Yeah.
That's my take. So she hooked up with Kevin Hart,
yes,
which could happen.
Sure.
In both directions. Mm-hmm. And then ended up with him in a hotel room.
Yes.
And was filmed.
Yes.
But doesn't know how she was filmed.
That's the story she's sticking to, yeah.
So his hotel room, hotel room, that makes a difference to me.
It does.
And why is she holding a kangaroo? There's a picture of her holding a baby kangaroo.
If I had a picture holding a baby kangaroo, that's the only one I would let them use.
It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty great.
Feel like it's confusing the narrative a little bit. Okay,
doesn't
so
that look like two different girls, by the way?
We need to know whose hotel room it was, because
that's true.
If it was her hotel room, then her explanation of "I have no idea how this was filmed" is a little spotty. Well,
yeah,
a little
that's true.
But if it's his hotel room, it gets really confusing.
They went back to the room.
Plot thickens.
Whose room? Gary, you're going to have to try to figure that one out. Either way, she wants justice.
She wants justice. She doesn't want any money from Kevin. She wants Kevin to help her find the real criminals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure we're not done with this story.
You can probably tell by the footage whose hotel room it was, because he probably stayed in something large.
Mm. Yes, I imagine he was given a
Or smart. What hotel it was at.
Cosmo.
Oh, it's Cosmo. Very nice hotel.
It's a nice hotel. Now, the size of the room.
You know what this whole thing is?
We're looking.
It's very
complicated. Very complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't we just hear this forever?
He becomes somebody else or everyone else.
Brian. And he's not reading the lyrics. All from memory.
I think that's what it says. Something like something to be effective on.
Well,
It was his room.
Oh,
his room.
Good question, Adam.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart. Remix.
So it was his room.
This is, the plot is thick.
But she still could put her phone on record and then set it down on her jacket and get busy.
I don't go anywhere without my teddy bear, which has a nanny cam in the eye.
Right. And it didn't look like the thing was shot off a tripod or anything.
Mm-mm.
So I'm guessing it had to be her phone because he couldn't have done it. And then, and if the room and if the Ruskies had got to the room in advance and wired it up, we'd have a couple different angles.
Yeah. Yep. And I love how we have now officially decided it's the Ruskies.
It's the Ruskies.
Okay.
They're interfering in our elections and our erections. They're interfering in everything. There's no part of Americana.
They're
confections, elections, and erections. There's no part of America they're not influencing.
Yeah.
All right, one more.
All right. Well, in honor of Vinny having been on the show, according to a new Gallup poll, 53% of Americans say they exercise at least 30 minutes for 3 days a week. This is the highest level recorded since the poll was first taken back in 2008. But people from some communities are getting more exercise than others. I have the very top of the list, and I have the very bottom of the list. I think.
Hold on.
Yeah.
New guy I'm annoyed at the gym.
Okay.
The couple, as you know, the workout couple. Angry at workout couple. Mm-hmm. Angry at person who seems to be just buried in their phone, kind of taking care of business. Like they're sitting at the bench press, but they're no longer bench pressing.
Yes.
They're checking their stocks now on their phone, and they're just sort of in their phone. Don't like that person. This person I appreciate, but I cannot tolerate. And let me enunciate. The locker person who moves way too far out of the way and way too violently when you're trying to get to your locker. They're standing and blocking just a corner of your lid. They're standing there like they're looking at their phone or they're drinking off their sippy cup or whatever it is, and their shoulder is going into your locker's airspace by about 3 inches, and it's no big deal. You're just going to slide in and start to open the locker, and they do a big move like, whoa,
hello, unusual corner.
I'm going to go dig a grave for myself out in the parking lot and bury myself because His Highness has decreed that he wants his sports cup out of his locker. Like, I get people going, whoa. And it's like, I'm just reaching in and grabbing my bottle. My gym has the sort of honorable lockers, just the squares where you can set your keys and your stuff in there, your cubbies. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, sometimes there'll be someone sort of standing in front of it, and I'll just do a kind of reach in and grab the bottle. But you get the, I'm going to do a shoulder roll and a cartwheel and go to the other end of the gym. Yep. Like, I just... This is a little space. Fine.
Close cousin.
I feel bad. Like, I feel like you're being too courteous. Right. You're acting too hard to this.
Close cousin of my situation back a month ago when, remember, the guy came into the bathroom. There's two stalls, and I'm like, he's like, oh, sorry, didn't know it was about. I'm like, no, please, go ahead.
And Brian invited him in warmly with a wink.
I reached out my hand and
did a little toe tap underneath
them.
2 weeks later, just like 2 weeks ago, I was at a wedding at a restaurant. It was like a wedding reception at a restaurant, and it's 100 people, one bathroom for the men with two stalls, and I'm using one of the stalls. Guy comes in. Everyone ostensibly kind of knows each other, at least they're for the same thing, and he does a whole like, whoa, sorry, didn't know this was occupied, and I'm like, no, it's okay, there's two, and he was like, oh, no, you do your thing, and I'm yelling.
Maybe
I'm like,
he had to go... emergency style.
Maybe he did. Maybe it was a sit down situation, but either way, he did.
He was welcome.
He did the back off, like, whoa, sorry, man. It's like, no, it's okay.
There's a too courteous, which then bleeds into an affront. There's too courteous, which becomes its own burden.
Mm-hmm.
The person that overreacts in such a courteous way that it actually becomes its own sort of affront and burden, right?
He overdid it. He was like, whoa,
now
whoa,
you
sorry,
then
man.
Have to go like, oh, no, it's okay. And your whole plan is to slip past each other.
Unnoticed, unspoken.
Right. But this must be addressed.
Yep. Can I add one thing to this list? And I'm actually proud of myself for not allowing myself to be shamed by this. When I do the weights, the douchebags at the worst gym ever that I go to, they like to put on as much as possible, make as much noise as possible, show as much nipple as possible through the tank top. And then they just walk away and they don't put the weights back.
Re-rack your weights.
Now, I can't lift those. They're too heavy. And everyone that works at the gym, they can't be bothered to help, and they're zipping by in trying to sell people memberships, whatever. So I've tried many times, and I struggle, and it sucks. And finally, I was like, why am I doing this? And I went up to the manager guy, and I was like, I'm sorry, can you help me get these weights off? I can't lift them. And he's coming over, yeah, no problem. As he's lifting the weight off, he tells me, you know, people are supposed to rack their weights.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, correct. Exactly.
Right.
I didn't do it. Right.
Yeah.
That's why you're here. So yeah. I was very, very upset. But I can't lift it. I'm sorry. I don't have the body strength.
Now, who's worse, that guy or the guy who is doing the rack of weights, the kind where you pull the pin out and put the pin back in, who slams them down in your vicinity?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're sitting... You're sitting there, and you're doing the lat pull down.
Yep.
And right next to you is the big sort of trap, you know, fly thing.
Yeah.
And after each 10 reps, the guy's like, ugh! And just
clang.
Boom! And it's 140 pounds, yes. Just slam! And it's like, it's 2 feet away from you. It's down low, because you're sitting down low, and you get this really jolting slam.
Yep.
And it's like, hey, douche, two things. One is, you're not the only human being on the goddamn planet. Number two, if you'd like to get a little more out of this workout, then slowly let it down. What's your part where you like let it go, like boom, and then somehow it's justified by your grunt? Ah!
Yep.
Like, okay, Samson.
Minute for that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's poor etiquette.
I hate it.
Yes.
And the guy that sits and checks his stocks on the bench, you know, you're supposed to like, you know, tag in with people or whatever. And, you know, can I use that for a second? I might be going to the wrong gym, because I spend a lot of time in the weight area and it's all dudes and they're not very nice. Mm. So if you have your headphones on and you're ignoring everyone, you're just holding court on the bench. I don't feel comfortable tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, do you mind if I get in there with you?
And speaking of the ladies, super strong ladies,
mm-hmm.
when you're done doing that military press on the machine, just go ahead and pull that pin out and slide it up about four slots and pop it back
don't
in.
Don't shame me with
I
your
don't want to show up and know that I do the same weight the 125 pounder does in her 40s.
Oh, yeah, same.
Just go ahead and, or don't make me go through the ritual of having to pull it out, pretend like I'm moving it around a little bit, answer a fake phone call, and then put it right back into the same slot.
Save us all the charade.
Do a move where I clutch at my shoulder before I sit down. I'm like, that's a name injury's acting up.
Working out it.
Feel the pin pushing through the skin. All right, here we go. Yeah, just go and throw it up.
That's not a lot to ask.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to give you the top most densely populated place where people exercise and the place where they do not exercise.
Okay.
Any guesses on the top? Because this one comes up a lot. We've heard from the city about health many times.
The city. Oh,
the city.
We're going by cities.
City.
Where they do exercise the most.
Well, yeah.
Or the most and the least.
In gyms specifically?
No, just work out the most a week.
The general, the people, the populace of that city does the most.
Correct.
You got to get around the beach is the way I feel.
Ooh.
I feel A, it attracts the people, and B, hey, if you're going to be in the shorts or the bikini or the whatever it is, you want to stay in good shape. I'm going to pick a beach city. There's a Miami, but I don't know if the Cubans like working out so much. Oh, there's an indigenous populace there. I'm going to say, can I say like Huntington Beach or Hermosa Beach or something like that?
So one of those?
Yeah. Pick a beach. I'll pick one of those beach
cities.
Well,
they are both incorrect, but I like where your head's at.
San Francisco. I'll just play the favorite.
So actually,
we're going to need a gay population.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one I don't think really fits that bill, but I don't think you're going to be surprised. Boulder, Colorado.
I was gonna say Denver. Oh,
70% of the people there exercise regularly. Now
they're convening with nature.
Yes, hikers and bikers.
Right.
And now three cities tied for the worst, and they're all in the same state. So you can just give me the state if you want. With 42% of the people get their workouts in. They are known as the couch potato capital of America now.
Houston, San Antonio, and
so you're going with Texas.
Yeah, I got wherever it is. 94% of the populace voted for Trump, and I'm going to say it's like a Louisiana type.
Both
place.
Good guesses. I was actually a little surprised. I just didn't think of them. North Carolina, the least amount of exercise in the country.
Oh, didn't see that coming.
So there you go. According to Gallup.
Let's bring it home.
All right. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Forza Motorsport 7 on Xbox One. Love these guys. I was part of their campaign. You can check that out online. October 3rd, exclusively for Xbox One and Windows 10. Collect and race 700-plus cars, including the Le Mans winning Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. That's right. It's like a Shelby Cobra, but they put a roof on it. Friend Pete Rock designed that bad boy, so it could go fast on the Mulsanne straight. One, it's class, and then you got the Ford GT40. Well, just watch the 24-Hour War. I think you'll see both those cars in there. And they have gorgeous graphics, 4K resolution, 60 frames per second, 30 famous destinations, including Laguna Seca. Oh, we just listened to some Avril Lavigne on our way back from Laguna Seca. Sonoma, Long Beach, Watkins Glen, legendary Monza, and Nürburgring. You can buy the digital version and get the Hoonigan Car Pack featuring Ken Block. We know his 1965s. Yeah, he's got a Mustang. I think it's a notchback. Yeah, it's the Hoonicorn, and it's free. So you just get the digital version, and you get Ken Block's car for free thrown in. Forza Motorsports 7, out October 3rd. All right, tomorrow night, me in Chicago doing a one-man show. So come say hi, Park West, and then we go on to Minneapolis, October 13th, and Nashville, October 14th, and you can go to Corolla Drinks, say hi to Lynette, see all the good stuff over there, and the cruise ends today, so Key West, Cozumel, all the good times we're going to have over there. Go to Travel by Parker for details, and get some buck slips and some merch over at AdamCarolla.com. We got live shows coming up, live pods everywhere, but go to AdamCarolla.com and find out where we're going to be. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Vinny Tortorich, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian, and Bill O'Reilly saying mahalo.
Sugar babies.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like. The phone number is 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click on the link at AdamCarolla.com. Gina Grad. He's on the radio doing mornings at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. The Ace Man's Not Taco Bell Material solo tour kicks off this weekend in Chicago. Then in October, Minneapolis and Nashville. Get your tickets now. Plus, get drunk on a boat with us. The Corolla Cruise coming at the end of November. Today's your last day to sign up at AdamCarolla.com.